Would you turn in your Bible there in the back of the pew to page 1250 in the book of Philippians for just a minute before we get back into 3 John, and I want to finish that chapter tonight. But in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 on page 1250 there in the English Standard Version translation, Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. And as he is closing out some of his remarks, he said, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." That very first phrase there, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true." If you will, turn a few pages over to 3 John on page 1307, page 1307. I know we went through some verses the other evening, but I want to go back and look at verses 1 through 8 tonight. When we sang that song a few moments ago, "I Would Be True," let me tell you, John has spoken about truth. John has spoken about love. John has spoken about error that had crept into the church. He is sending words of commendation. He sends words of warning. You know, whenever you begin to think about the church of 2,000 years ago, and you think where we are in the 21st century, some of the same kind of problems that existed then exist today as well. For in the church, there are those that are apostates that are falling away from the faith. I've seen several polls in the past few weeks speaking about how church attendance is falling off in various places all over the United States, and how that in America it is fast falling from what it once was. And when I thought about those polls, as I read some of those comments, it reminded me of what John was saying. There have always been, for 2,000 years ago, there were those that were infiltrating churches. There were those that were teaching damnable doctrines. There were those that were teaching heresy, not truth. And John specifically mentions truth. He mentions love. And whenever you come to chapter number 3, or 3 John, the third little epistle that John has written for us, in that very first verse, once again, we see three different people that are mentioned in this letter that John writes. One of those is a man by the name of Gaius. Gaius would be the encourager. I want to ask you a question tonight. He was an encourager. It says in verse number 1, the elder, and we looked at that word, elder could mean the elder is an age, and of course John is writing, and he is definitely an elder. It also can refer to someone in the church in leadership. And so he says the elder, and he's speaking of himself, to the beloved Gaius, whom, notice the phrase, "I love in truth." Paul said, "Whatever things are true." Jesus said, "I am truth." Pilate asked the question, "What is truth?" Jesus answers that question in the Bible. And when John writes this third epistle and he says about this brother, this Christian, that he loves him, whom I love in truth. There was so much fiction that was being propagated in that period of time. Lots of propaganda. Lots of stuff that was not true. The world has not changed much since 2,000 years ago whenever you look at what is truth, whenever you look at propagandizement that's going on in the world today and how people are being indoctrinated. And as John writes these epistles, he's writing to absolutely expose the heretical doctrines that people were trying to bring into the church. And when you come to this one that he's writing to, this Gaius is one of those people in the church that is an encourager. Let me ask you a question tonight, just for yourself's sake. Don't raise your hand, but let me ask you a question. Are you an encourager? Are you an encourager, someone who tries to make someone's day, someone who tries to have an uplifted spirit, someone who looks at the very best in you, someone that finds something to compliment you about? You see, I think Gaius was one of these people in life. Not everybody is an encourager, unfortunately. But let me tell you, if you are an encourager, that is so important in people's life. I know that Martha Mitro back there, Martha sends a lot of cards to people that are shut in, to the homebound, to people that are in the nursing home. And let me tell you, some of those people have said to me personally how much that means to them, how it brings a spark of encouragement in a rather discouraging time in their life. Sometimes people pick up a phone and call somebody, and it brings great encouragement to their heart. I don't know about you, but I find myself all the time when the Holy Spirit brings somebody up in my mind, I know there's a reason for my thinking about them at that particular moment, and I do my best to take my phone and call them if I'm on the road driving to hospitals, as I was yesterday and the day before to the Lawton hospitals. But when the Holy Spirit brings somebody to my mind, I try to call them right there because I feel that they were put upon my mind for a reason and to send a word of encouragement, to let them know I was thinking about you. I believe the Holy Spirit put you upon my mind. And I just wanted to call to encourage you today. I don't know if you're having a good day, if it's a bad day, but I just want you to know Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I think when John penned these words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was writing to a great encourager in that church. And he specifically loved this person because they were a person of truth, a person who was walking the truth, living the truth, speaking the truth. And Gaius was one of those individuals, and John greatly appreciated him. Verse number 2, he says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." And we looked at that last week. We talked about prospering in your health, doing all the things that you can to keep your health good. He speaks about that in this greeting, and not only physical health, but he speaks about the soul, your soul prospering. In meditation, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in verse number 3 and verse 4, John lets us know that Gaius had a good testimony. John said, "I rejoiced greatly when the brothers," that's other Christians, "came," and what did they do? "Testified to your truth." In other words, John was saying, "I have had testimonials to come back to me that made my heart greatly rejoice because of the truth that you're living, that you're teaching, that you're walking in, And there was nothing that pleased John any more than for someone to continue and to grow in their spiritual life. And this someone was someone who held on to truth. He said, as indeed you are, notice, walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. You know what amazes me? That how many people that profess Christianity, and yet they have such different opinions upon different things in the Bible. They have complete opposite, sometimes, opinions of maybe what you and I would glean, and how there's such diversity in opinions that are out there in the world today. But as John writes this in verse 3 and 4, he speaks about a good testimony. He loved Gaius because he was teaching truth. He loved Gaius in verse 4 because Gaius is walking in truth. He's speaking truth. He's walking in truth. Let me tell you, the truth sometimes hurts, doesn't it? The truth sometimes hurts. If you really, truly, genuinely care about someone and you truly love them, you should always be truthful. Amen? You should be truthful, because if you love somebody, you have their best interest at heart. And so he speaks about the testimonials of these other Christians that have reported back to John about the wonderful good testimony of this brother. And then in verse 5 through verse number 8, John is going to speak about Gaius's practical ministry. Beloved, he calls him. It's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. Now, what John is referring to there, as 2,000 years ago, there were the itinerant preachers, missionaries that were going from place to place. And as I recall last week, I said they didn't have Hampton Inns and they didn't have Holiday Inn Expresses in those days. And so these itinerant teachers and preachers, they were at the disposal of somebody offering them a place to camp for the night in their house. And obviously, Gaius was one of these. He was an encourager. And when John says, beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers, he says, as they are, he goes on in verse 7, 6, 7, and 8, he said, who testified to your love before the church. In other words, John is saying, Gaius, the things you did for these people that were strangers to you, but you took them in as they shared the word of truth. And he said, they've testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Let me tell you, someday in the presence of the Almighty, when the rewards are given out for the things we've done in this life, the good deeds that we've done, the good works that we've done, which manifest or show an outward expression to others of the Christ who lives within us. Let me tell you, the kind deeds that we've done, they are worthy in the sight of the Lord, that we will be rewarded for those things one of these days if they were done for all the right reasons, for the right purpose, the right motive, the right attitude. He says, you will do well to send them on their journey, notice, in a manner worthy of God. He's speaking about the way they were treated. One thing that I learned many years ago, and I learned this under the tutelage of Brother Dan Pruitt when I was his minister of music, minister to senior adults. One of the things that I learned from Brother Dan is this. If you stand up and you preach the full counsel of the Word of God from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, and you don't back down from what is recorded in God's Word, and you stand firmly rooted, grounded, planted on the truth and the veracity of the Scripture, he said, you'll never have to worry about money, because God's people's hearts will become right and that they will give. And I've seen that at every turn of the road in the 22 years coming up on May the 10th, that this church will have been in ministry for 22 years. And I've seen the way God has tremendously blessed this church through the giving of its gracious, faithful people. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that I've never had to be embarrassed when we sent someone off, as we did the African Children's Choir. They'll be coming and joining us again in August. And how we were able to bless them. Let me tell you, someday in heaven, God hadn't forgotten that. God has books according to the Bible. Let me tell you, he knows when the deeds have been done and the works have been done. And when John writes here in verse 6, speaking about those that Gaius had been wonderful to, accommodating to, very hospitable to, that he sent them on their way, he did well for them. Let me tell you, one of the things I've never, ever had to be embarrassed by, it's the way we've been able to bless others that have come through the doors of this church, or to be able to do all the ministries that we do in the city of Duncan. I'm grateful. I'm thankful that God knows that. God knows our heart. God knows what we're doing. And God records the good deeds and the things that we're able to do. And when John says, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner, notice he says, worthy of God. Worthy of God. Let me tell you, God is not a chinchy, stingy God. He's an awesome God. That's why the Bible says, give. And it'll be given to you, pressed down, running over. Let me tell you, God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. God loves a cheerful giver. My Sunday school class this coming Sunday morning is going to take special offering, because we're going to, once again, sponsor Saturday throughout when the Duncan pool opens, to sponsor the kids of Duncan. That was the highest attended day last year. It was on Saturday. I'm grateful for the gifts that will be given so that we can fund in that this coming summer, and that people will understand that it's not about us, it's all about him. John goes on in verse number 7 and verse number 8, he says, for they've gone out for the sake of the name. These men that had come, these missionaries that had come to that church there in Ephesus, and the way they were treated hospitably. And John is forever grateful. He's forever thankful. And he's giving this word of commendation. He's being a great encourager to Gaius. For they've gone out for the sake of the name, accepting, notice, nothing from the Gentiles. In other words, when they came, they were coming out of the abundance of their heart, believing that God would take care of their personal needs, their financial needs, and the sustenance that they needed for their lives. Verse number 8, he talks about this practical ministry. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. And let me tell you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, what people give to this church is because of the things that we can do through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for world missions, what we can do through the Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American missions, what we can do through the offerings that we give to the Medill Baptist Children's Home, through the offerings that we disseminate all over this town, through the various things that we do, all of the charitable things, all of the things that you and I can be a part of. And I'm grateful we don't go around tooting our horn. The Bible says, don't let the left hand know what the right hand does. And I just say, to God be the glory, great things he has done. And so in John 3, we have one of three characters that are mentioned, Gaius. He's the encourager. He's the one speaking truth. He's the one walking in truth. And John very quickly gives him words of commendation. When you come to verse 9 and 10, we see the second character in John 3. It's a man by the name of Diotrephes. He's the dictator. He's the one in the church that has to have the preeminent seats in the synagogue. He is the one that is going to run everything that he possibly can. Now, notice in verse number 9, Diotrephes, he will not receive John. Imagine that. John the apostle. John, the one that was with Jesus to the bitter end. And this man in the church there became a dictatorial type of person. It had to be his way or no way. In verse number 9, John says, I've written something to the church. But Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. And so John is saying to Gaius, who speaks truth, who's walking in truth, that there's one there that does not accept John's apostolic authority. And so he calls him out. He said, who likes to put himself first. I read today an obituary that I was reading online, and I loved what was in the obituary. I wrote it down. What we do for ourselves dies with us. What we do for others and the world remains and is immortal. What we do for ourselves dies with us. But what we do for others and the world remains and is immortal. I would say Diotrephes was one of these that did everything in the world for himself. He was self-absorbed. And so John calls him out in this situation. In verse 10, we see three different things. 10, verse 10a. So John says, if I come, remember John wanted to come. He says, so if I come, I will bring up what he is doing. And so this guy, he lied about John the apostle. Have you ever had somebody tell a lie about you? You know, I don't mind if people tell the truth, but don't lie. I mean, tell the truth, but don't lie. Well, this guy by the name of Diotrephes, he lied about the apostle John. And so John says, so if I come, I will bring up what he's doing. Man, I can tell you, I was talking with someone yesterday, and we were talking about a time. Well, I think I was talking with Billy and Sherry Shannon yesterday at Integra Southwest Oklahoma City, and I'd gone by to pray with Billy, and he was going to have a surgical procedure done, and we were talking about years ago, and I said, you know, I remember that Sunday morning as if it were yesterday. I remember the church was filled over there. The balcony was full. And Brother Dan was a little bit upset about somebody in the congregation. Now, we all tried to figure out who it was, but, you know, to this very day, I still don't know. And I was sitting on the platform so I could see the whole congregation. And it kind of reminded me of the disciples on that Thursday night at the Last Supper whenever Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And you know, Peter said, whispered over John, who's he talking about? You know, it sort of reminded me, I began to look at the crowd and boy, you could see people going, who's he talking about? I saw people sink down. But Dan said this, I know who you are and God knows who you are and I know what you're doing and God knows what you're doing and I want you to know you could have heard a pin drop on the carpet. I've never seen such attention in all of my life. And to this very day, I've wondered all those years, who was he talking about? Well, when I read this passage for tonight, it reminded me of that because John says to Gaius, so if I come, I will bring up what he is doing. Wow. And notice what he says next. He had lied about John. He's talking wicked nonsense. Notice against us. That guy was just lying. He was trying to get people to be a part of his lies about Gaius and about John. And then we see that not only did he lie about John, but he rejected John's associations with those that were trying to speak truth, live truth, and walk in truth. He said, and not content with that, notice he says he refuses to welcome the brothers. Now, John was talking about those that had come to speak in the church, that these were itinerant preachers, teachers, missionaries. And so John calls out Diotrephes for exactly who and what he is. He goes on. And he says, and he also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. In other words, this guy that wanted to be the head screw in the church, he disciplined those that disagreed with him. Man, there's a lot of guys out there like that. Goodness gracious, if any of you ever read the Roy's report, you'll see it all the time. Let me tell you, there's some dictatorial people out there. It's their way or the highway. You either do it that way or you don't do it. And so we have Gaius, the encourager in the church, but we also have Diotrephes, the dictator, the hey, look at me guy. Hey, I'm the one dictating this. And so he would discipline people that did not agree with him. But there's a third character in the church. It's a guy by the name of Demetrius. He's the exemplar. Notice verses 11 through 14. Beloved, John says, beloved, once again he's speaking to Gaius, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. We read that a while ago in Philippians. Whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, Paul said to the Philippians. And notice in verse number 11, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. He goes on in verse 11, or verse number 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony, notice, from everyone. In other words, those that are walking truth, speaking truth, living truth, those that have come in contact with this person by the name of Demetrius, he's got a good testimony. He's great, got great integrity. People admire him. People speak well of him. And notice he uses that phrase, and from the truth itself. In other words, this is a person that is an example. He's an example to everyone. Notice, we also add our testimony, John says, and you know that our testimony is true. And so John brings up this Demetrius that's in the church. In verse number 13. I had noticed John says to Gaius, the encourager, I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. Verse number 14, I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. We will talk face to face. And then in verse number 15, John closes out this letter to Gaius, and he says, peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. Greet the friends, each by name. But you know, there's just something about people love for you to know their name. People love for you to know their name. A lot of people will say, well, I barely can remember my own. You know what you have to do? You have to practice. You know, practice makes perfect. Or maybe I should say perfect practice makes perfect, right? It's what one of my piano teachers used to say. It's perfect practice that makes perfect. And so, you know, you have to just continually rehearse those things over and over and over. But I love the way he says, peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends each by name. Tonight, we are going to close 3 John by standing. Ken, can you come up to the keyboard over there? If you will, take your hymnal out. Turn to page 571. We're going to sing all 4 of these verses. And I want you to think about the words as we sing them together. Page 571, let others see Jesus in you. It says, while passing through this world of sin and others, your life shall view. Be clean and pure without within. Let others see Jesus in you. Verse number 2, your life's a book before their eyes. They're reading it through and through. Say, does it point them to the skies? Do others see Jesus in you? Verse 3, what joy 'twill be at set of sun in mansions beyond the blue to find some souls that you have won. Let others see Jesus in you. Then live for Christ both day and night. You see, Demetrius and Gaius were 2 of those. Then live for Christ both day and night. Be faithful, be brave and true, and lead the lost to life and light. Let others see Jesus in you. Would you sing with us as we sing all of this song in closing?
While passing through this world of sin and others, your life shall be. Does it point?